age categories we have, or is there another deeper and more logical meaning, dear Sheikh?
Very well put, and a very interesting question, I would say. Look, like I mentioned that, you know, Islam has categorized from 0 to 7, and then 7 to 14, and then 14 to 21.
As we mentioned in the previous issues.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you look at the Western approach, they also have categorization. They say toddlers, then they say kids, and then they move into something called teenage, that is from 13 to
teenagers,
19 years.
Right.
And they know that there are a lot of hormonal changes that are happening, particularly into girls because girls have reached their puberty, and then into boys because they reach their puberty around 14 years. So that's 13 and 14 years. There's a lot of hormonal changes, a lot of changes happening in the personality, in the physical self. And then because of those changes, there are behavioral changes that are happening in the person itself. And that's why there's a lot of focus on this age, because again, here they're trying to establish their ideals, they're trying to establish their personality, their
characteristics. They're trying to find out who they are and
exactly.
who they're going to become.
And what if you're able to shape them in that age, then you've got them for their lifetime. So
right.
if you're able to shape them correctly and manage them rightly here, then it's this age that decides whether this person is going to be on Siratul Mustaqim or he's
right.
going to go
of course,
astray. And
we say manage, not dictate, because if you force your ideals upon others and they are
not
convinced by them,
exactly.
they're just going to be led astray.
It's not going to work.
Right.
However, let me point out that apart from the teens, now the West is focusing on something called tweens. Now, here's a big question. What is tweens? You know, we
right.
know teens, but what is
another
tweens?
New category?
Another new category.
Right.
Like you mentioned, why teens need attention? Well, while we're still thinking that do teens need attention, they already have another category called tweens. And you know what's tweens? It's between, and they take the last part of it and call it tweens. Between 9 and 13.
Right.
Why 9 and 13? Because once you cross that age group of 7 years, your personality changes, your behavior changes, your risk-taking factor changes, your attraction level changes. If you remember Maslow's theory.
Attraction level? Sorry?
Attraction level towards the opposite sex, right? It changes, right?
Right.
If you remember Abraham Maslow's theory, he mentions the different categories, the needs. He says first one is your basic needs. Then
right.
the second one is your security needs. And the third one is your social needs, right?
Right.
And from 9 years onwards, there are changes in the personality, the way the child looks at the world, the way the child looks at the opposite sex, the way the child looks at everything around here. So we'll come back and discuss on this.
Right. Let's expand on this after a quick break.
Inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the new age category of tweens.
Tweens.
And so, Sheikh, before we went on a break, you said that even at this very early stage of the children's life, already we see some changes and some quite remarkable behavioral changes, such as that you said they get attracted
towards the opposite
towards
sex
the opposite,
and
right.
their priorities start changing.
Right.
So if you look at some of the ahadith that we have from the household, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they mention that if you see a boy is mumayyiz, and what is mumayyiz? Being able to differentiate the right and the wrong. They say that even if he's not baligh, but he's become mumayyiz, it is ordered for the lady to cover her
hijab.
Adornments. Exactly,
right.
To cover her adornments, to wear hijab and make sure that her body figure is not visible to this
In
child.
Essence, treat him like a grown-up.
Exactly. And this child is mumayyiz, meaning he's just crossed the 7 years. He's 8 years old, he's 9 years old. meaning that Islam has a clear understanding of the psychology of this child, that he's reached the age of 9 and he's able to differentiate. He can clearly see the difference between a woman and himself as being a boy. Or the girl can clearly see the difference between she being a girl and others being the boy.
We see this actually in younger children as well, in daycares. Or some incidents happen where they explore some things that we don't want to mention.
Exactly.
Where they find out there is differences between this and so.
And this is where the tweens come into picture, because they realize that after you cross that 7 years and 8 years of age and before teenage, there is a certain amount of curiosity. There's a different kind of attitude, different kind of approach and psychology and psyche for the child. And they realize that, for example, like we mentioned in our earlier discussion, that if we start upbringing at 7 years, we are late. We're too late.
Right.
They realize that if we start shaping the personalities when they reach teens, it's too late.
Of course.
They started focusing on the tweens right from 9 years onwards.
And that's why we have schools and daycare facilities and so on, and all of these day trips that they do.
Correct.
And they go to these centers, to the museums, and do all these activities. They're all with a purpose. They're not just for the children to have fun.
Exactly. It's not just, you know, for, you know, just to give them a break from studies or something like
and
that.
That is good. It is good for the children.
There's learning happening, definitely.
But the problem is, it is not Islamic.
Yeah.
We need to do the same thing with our Islamic, with our Islamic principles.
Principles, right? So I would say that while we discuss teens here, we also need to keep in mind the tweens here. So let's address the tweens and the teens here. And one of the concerns that are there, which we focus when it comes to discussing teenage, is we are primarily, most of the parents and others, they generally think that it's more to do with the sexual attraction and the sexual feelings and the hormonal changes.
Right.
And that's what they're worried about. But that's not the most important part of that age. The most important part of that age is self-identification. The child, the teenage boy or the girl, is trying to understand who they are, what they want to be in future, what kind of a role do they play in the family environment, what contribution can they make to the society, will it be a positive contribution, can they make a positive impact on the society, who should be their ideals.
So thinking in bigger pictures.
Exactly. They are bewildered. They want to know who they are
and
what their purpose is.
That's why we see often teenagers, they go through different phases, either in their appearance, their personality,
exactly.
Their attitude.
And they're trying to understand what they can do and how they can be part of the society. This is that social need that I was talking about from the Abraham Maslow.
Right, let's continue this discussion after a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the importance, the often understated importance, unfortunately, of the teenage phase in the life of young adults. And we said that in this phase, dear Sheikh, that the children, these young adults, they're trying to find out who they are and what role they will play in their lives and in the bigger picture in Islam as a whole.
Correct. And this is where I would like to bring in some experience that I have had earlier. As a psychologist, I remember when I used to ask children earlier, what would they want to be when they grow up? You know, a child who's just 5 years, 7 years, 9 years, they would come back and say, "I want to be an engineer. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a physicist. I want to be a doctor, even a postman." One of the kids told me, "I want to be a postman," right? Because at that time there was post there, so postman. But today, when you ask the children, particularly the teens, if you ask them, "What do you want to be?" you don't hear from them, "I want to be a physicist. I want to be a doctor or an engineer." You hear from them that, "I want to be rich and I want to be famous. I want to be an influencer.
I want to be a singer.
I want to be
an
actor, a dancer. An actor. I want to be famous.
I want to be famous.
Exactly. I want to be a celebrity," right?
Right.
So,
because that's what is defined as success in our age.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to tell you is that how come someone who's just entered into teenage has already defined himself that he wants to be an actor or a singer or a dancer or a rich guy?
He's put a goal for his entire life.
And this is where I want to point out that all this conditioning is happening when they are tweens. So if you look at all the programs and all the episodes and
documentaries,
TV shows, books
they read.
Everything is guiding them towards this behavior. So when they reach teen, they have already established about themselves that this is what I want to be. And this is where we find that there's a conflict between what they have been conditioned to think as and what Islam wants them to become. And this is where we find all the problems emerging about the behavior from the teenagers. You ask them to offer namaz, they don't want to offer namaz. Why?
Because pray, right?
Offer namaz, pray, come for azadari and do
morning
charity
ceremonies.
Or things like that. Even simple stuff, you know. You ask these people, you know, wash dishes, your own plate. He wouldn't do that.
And that's a general problem with attitude in, unfortunately, Western societies.
Exactly.
And that's just proving your point that they are already conditioned by the culture and environment.
Exactly. This is exactly what I want to say, that this has become the general problem out there.
Yeah.
That they don't want to do their own stuff. Why? Because right from that age, they feel, I'm rich.
I'm not your servant.
Exactly. And I want to be a celebrity, and this is not the
behavior. Is beneath me. Who are you to order me around? And
so
that's, Sheikh, also because, unfortunately, the own parents' fault that they do not invest time in raising their children in an Islamic way. They think, and I've seen this thought being more and more prevalent, that the school is supposed to raise their children.
Look, that's not really true, because how much time does the child spend in the school, and how much
that's
time does
that's the expectation they have.
But that's not true, right? So if you, this is exactly the point that I mentioned, that if you don't plan the upbringing of your children, someone else is going to do the upbringing for your children.
Right.
You need to plan the tarbiyat for your children, right? So if you're not doing it, the school is going to do that. And then when the school does it,
it's not really the school, actually, to be more precise. It's going to be the classmates, how they behave, what content they consume.
And the ideology that is promoted by the school is the materialistic ideology.
Right. Especially
so
in Western societies.
They come to home and they behave in that materialistic way. And then we complain that, look, what's happening to my child?
Right. So we see this exactly when the parents ask the children to wash the dishes, the children are like, no. But if you offer an incentive, a money gift,
exactly,
or a trip, suddenly they accept. So, and you see this also with the young children, with parents, they're like, yeah, my child, he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to take a bath.
So we give him a reward.
We give him a reward. I'm like, already. You're teaching him capitalism already.
Already. You're teaching him how to trade. You
You
take my services and pay me for it. And
exactly.
This becomes a habit forever.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, it just gets worse and worse the older they get, because it gets more cemented, it becomes a puddle.
Correct. So I think we need to deal with this subject a little more in detail about what teens are and how do they identify themselves and what role can we play. And sometimes, you know, the major problem lies with how we define them, right?
Right.
So probably in the next episode, let's look at how they're defined and why is it important to understand them the right way so that we can deal them the right way.
Inshallah, that shall be the topic of next time's session. And with that, dear Sheikh, I thank you for your time and I thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first six. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 10th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you know, Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listener's Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome to the program. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. Of course, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us, an electronic QSL card from IRIB English Radio. So here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, which I mentioned their names. We have reception reports from Machi Raju, Subha Srini Vasaraj from India, Siddhartha Bhattacharji, again from India, and Daniel Vieira from Brazil. So, Machi Raju, Daniel, and Siddhartha, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRB English Radio. Of course, we've received a lot of emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. And as we are basking in the blessed month of Ramadan, almost all these great emails are focused on the blessed month of Ramadan, the best wishes, the prayers, and congratulatory messages. So let's see who has sent us email. First of all, Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. Your Clemens Hoffman from Germany has sent us an email. From the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have an email from Ramin Aminizad. From India, we have an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar, one of our old and regular listeners. And last but not the least, in this program, of course, we have an email from Mohammad Khaku from the US. So stay with us, please. After a short break, I will read these great emails. Welcome back. This is your program, Listeners Special, and Jayanta Chakrabarty from India has sent us an email. Let's see what Jayanta says. Dear friends, as Muslims around the world observe the blessed month of Ramadan, here's my humble message to IRIB English Radio listeners. Dear my brothers and sisters, while welcoming the auspicious month of Ramadan, I send my best wishes for the occasion. May you all enjoy everlasting peace, harmony, and joy. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and many thanks for sending us this beautiful message on the occasion of the blessed month of Ramadan, and especially your message to IRIB English Radio listeners, which you wished the best things for all our listeners in the blessed month of Ramadan. Please pray for us and pray for all our listeners around the world. And please accept our best wishes in the holy month of Ramadan. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks for sending us this beautiful message. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. We wish you all the best. As I said, please pray for us and our great listeners. We are waiting for your nice emails soon in the future. And your Clemens Hoffman from Germany has sent us an email. Your Clemens Hoffman is also one of our old and regular listeners. Your Clemens says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in our heart and illuminate our soul from within. Happy Ramadan. Yours truly, your Clemens Hoffman. Salam and warm greetings to you, your Clemens Hoffman from Germany, and please accept our appreciations to you for sending us such a nice and beautiful wish for IRIB English Radio staff and IRIB English Radio listeners. We also wish you all the best in the blessed month of Ramadan. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio broadcast. And after a short break, I will be back with other great emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email, a congratulatory message on the blessed month of Ramadan. So let's read his message. May the holy month of Ramadan be the harbinger of joy and prosperity to you all. As this holy occasion is here and the atmosphere is filled with spirituality and love, here we hope this festival of beauty brings your way bright sparkles of contentment that stay with you through the year. Happy Ramadan to IRIB family and all listeners. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. And please accept our appreciations to you for such a beautiful and great email and such a beautiful message on the blessed month of Ramadan. It's great, as always, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Happy Ramadan also to you and your fellow country men and women and your Muslim brothers and sisters. And please accept our best wishes to you in this blessed month. Please pray for us. And thank you for everything. Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, write to us soon. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And from Iran, yes, from the Islamic Republic of Iran, we've received an email from Ramin Aminizad, who is one of our regular listeners. So let's see what Ramin says. As mentioned in my previous email, listening to your radio and your colleagues on IRIB having different accents is excellently helping me here in Tehran to improve my English. Thank you all so much. But few words sound very Farsi to me. For instance, the word Sheikh, which according to English dictionaries should be pronounced as Sheikh. My question is, are you intentionally familiarizing people like me to learn them like that as well? Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ramin Aminizad from Iran, and thank you very much for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. You know, as for your question, we at IRIB English Radio try to use, in this instance, Sheikh, try to use words like their original form. In this instance, Sheikh is not an English word, and so we pronounce it like its original form, that is Sheikh. And this is the best way for that. It's not wrong to say Sheikh, but it's the best way of pronouncing words, you know, in their original form. As English people don't have the letter kh and this sound, so we have it in Farsi and in Arabic. So we try to pronounce it like its original form. This is like Afghanistan. English people say Afghanistan because they don't have kh, the sound like that in their language. So why not? So we have it in Farsi and we are native speakers. So we try to pronounce it like their Afghan people. We say Afghanistan. That's the way. Thank you for telling us your views about our English radio broadcast. So write to us soon, Ramin Aminizad from Iran. Tell us more about IRB English radio programs. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners. Welcome back. So, Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email. He says, "We are all thankful to Allah for giving us another opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan. Last 2 years, we have seen many calamities and have experienced sadness and sorrow within our communities. Let's make this Ramadan the best one of our lifetimes and be a model of the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt. Please remember the Muslim Ummah in your prayers. May this month bring all Muslims happiness, prosperity, and long life with good health." Salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the US. And many thanks for sending us this great email and this great congratulatory message and this great wish. Yes, the last 2 years, because of coronavirus pandemic around the world, have been, have brought about calamities and sadness and sorrow within the world countries. And so in this year, with the majority of people being vaccinated, we hope that this month bring all Muslims and all people happiness, prosperity, and long life with good health, as you said. So, anyway, please accept our best wishes to you, Mohammad Khaku from the US. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. We wish you all the best. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I send my appreciations and gratitudes to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and very beautiful congratulatory messages, including Michi, Raju, Suba, Daniel Vieira, Siddhartha Bhattacharji, Jayanta Chakrabarty, Your Clemens Huffman, Dr. Hemant Kumar, Ramin Aminizad and Mohammad Khaku. Please keep in touch with your radio, IRB English Radio, and of course your program. Listeners Special. Have a good time. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al Bahadiri, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us as always. Today we will talk about a very sensitive issue, but nonetheless it is an issue that we must speak about and discuss because our Islamic communities are also plagued by this problem. Mm-hmm. And this problem is the homosexuality desires and traits, or just homosexuality at large. So, the question is as follows. Is homosexuality normal? What do scientific sources say about homosexuality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, first of all, to answer the first part of the question,
if
whether it is normal, it is natural based on the nature of the human beings or not, of course the answer of the Islam is very clear that it's against the nature. But answering that from another perspective, the question is that what do we mean by normal and natural?
Why?
Sometimes when we talk about something being normal and natural, we may mean that it is rooted in the nature of the human beings. But sometimes we mean that human beings are not born like that, but then they may have this desire,
right,
regarding homosexuality. So whether some people have this desire or not, the answer, I think, is clear that some people have this desire.
Right.
But now the point is that, is it necessary to answer all the desires of the people? And if we do not do so, it means that we are doing something against the nature of these people?
We do something against the human rights.
Exactly.
Of people.
So I think when it comes to sexual relations, let's talk about, one century ago, how people, and even those people who nowadays they claim that this is natural and this is the need, and so on and so forth, why this need was looked down upon,
right,
one century ago. Why, suddenly people...
50 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Some, 20, 30 years ago, people were ashamed of saying that I have a kind of attraction
to this. It was treated as a mental illness.
Exactly. So my point is that if it was something natural, then it must have been looked at as something natural 20 years, 30 years ago. So something which is natural cannot be different in one part of the history and then suddenly changes all of a sudden. So it means that there is something wrong with it. It cannot be called as something in the nature of the human being.
It is the exception.
Exactly. This is one point. And the second point is that if there is no limitation to answering all the desires, because some people say that, okay, I have this problem. I have the desire toward the same sex.
Right. These urges.
Yeah. Right. So I should be allowed to do that. Now the question that then what is the limit? I mean, let me give you an example. I may love a girl and the girl hates me.
Right.
But, so I have this desire. Who is going to answer my desire? But
right.
Why nobody, no court in the in any country would
right.
give me the right to meet this desire?
Right.
So at the end of the day, this is also a desire.
Just like pedophilia or
yeah,
necrophilia as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
People with these
yeah.
weird.
Or for
weird
example,
desires.
Some might be interested in having relation with a married woman, for example.
Right, cheating, right.
And so on and so forth. I mean, there is no limitation. We may think about many
right.
other ways which are now,
right.
In our time, I mean, in this time that we are talking about, is prohibited in many countries. We are not...
Right.
Sure about the next
right.
day.
Because we still have some moral
exactly.
etiquette. Right.
But at least the point is that I believe even those people who claim that they support the LGBTQRSTUVW rights,
different letters,
yeah,
right.
they also believe that there is at least a limitation. My point is that if there is a limitation, it means that, we shouldn't allow
desires to run amok and
exactly.
be free.
I mean, it's not, we have so many desires. It doesn't
right.
mean that we need to meet all the desires. There should be mm-hmm. some limitation for
just like freedom to break the law. Yes, you can do that, but it's still illegal and we can throw you in jail and punish you.
Exactly. That's the
right.
point. So, yeah, those people, I mean, it's true that some people have this feeling that
right.
this desire, but then there are ways to control that.
Right.
Like, as I mentioned, the example that I mentioned, A boy may love a girl, but she doesn't like
anything
him.
To do with him. Right.
So what does he have to do? He needs to control himself.
Right.
He cannot say that, okay, I have this desire, then I need to meet it, and so
right.
on and so forth. And, I mean, do it by force. So
which
no
is
one
the case in Western countries. If you don't chase, don't you just stop.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no interest, don't force it.
So that's the point. I mean, in some cases, the desire is there, but that person needs to, control
right.
himself or herself.
Just like with sexual urges generally in Islam, for teenagers who are not married,
mm-hmm.
there are ways to control it.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Insha'Allah, 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 you'll find your way.
Now, talking about whether it is this, desire is natural and normal or not, there are some, I believe, putting religion aside, I think there are some indications which tell us that this is not the norm. One of them is that imagine all the people would become homosexual.
Right.
Now, the consequence is that there is no reproduction anymore. There is no children anymore.
We would die off. Like that. Right.
Yeah, but so this is it the course of the history? No.
Right.
I mean, for thousands of the years, people did not live like that.
Right.
Maybe this is at least one indication telling us that, this is not the norm. Because if it is a norm, it means that even if all the people of the earth, they act upon this norm, then everything is okay.
Right. Right.
But I believe that even the homosexuals do not like that. Right. Do not like all the inhabitants of the earth to become homosexual.
Well, 2 points to add on to that is animals also do not act this
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
There may be exemptions, perhaps, but animals at large, they would just die off.
And those exemptions might be affected by...
Right, yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And also, the funny thing is, homosexual couples, they also want kids.
That's the point.
It is a natural desire for you to breed and have a family and so on.
So when we have the desire of having family in terms of having children and through homosexuality, at least directly, you cannot have it.
Right.
You need to look for some alternatives. When that is a natural need of human being to have children, it means that either this is the nature of the human being or homosexuality. Both of them cannot be the nature of the human being. So right. these are some indications. And of course,
conflicting natures.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, the science tells us that the features of the men and women are different. So, if
biologically and psychologically.
Exactly. That is why, according to neuroscience, men and women, they are, completing each other.
Right.
When it comes to emotions, we know that, women are the sources.
The more emotional, sensitive beings, the men, the more cold, logical.
I mean, people who are married, I think they feel it that, for example, when a kid, hurts his, head, for example, his hand, the mother gets very emotional. She may cry.
Right.
And she may lose her control. But the dad, the father, is
more logical, more calm about it. Also, in any times of crisis, you see some, of course, it is at life. There are always exceptions. But you see women, they are under crisis, under stress. They are more likely to break down.
Exactly.
But men, they take the lead.
But imagine that both of them, they are asleep, and then the kids begins to cry. The dad doesn't... he just continues to sleep.
Right. It's like,
but the mother cannot sleep. So we need both.
Right.
I mean, imagine two men bringing a child, two homosexuals, and both of them just continue.
And again, you see this funny thing, because always in homosexual couples, you see one of them becoming the man, the other becoming the woman.
This is very funny. I mean, this is a joke.
You
cannot change the biology of two men. At the end of the day, both of them are rational. And when, we have two girls, two lesbians, for example, if something happens to the kids, then the point is that both of them will control. Will lose control. None of them is able to handle the situation and to. I think the point is clear that when we have such differences between men and women, then both of them need to be there to complete each other. Now, so from this perspective, I think even if we may not look at the Quran and the narrations, I think the reality is the facts shows us that this is not the norm. This is not the nature, and the nature says otherwise. Let me also share one point that many people accuse Islam as being against homosexuals. But the point is that before that, we have many verses in the both. In the Bible against this act. I mean, they are sentenced to different punishments.
All world religions.
Exactly.
Abrahamic religions also.
All of them, they mention that.
Right.
So it's not only something specific about Islam.
Right.
It's not something specific to some countries. As I mentioned, 30 years ago, almost all the countries were against that. And now they're becoming normal in some countries.
Even if you do not say that this is illegal, outlawed, forbidden in all religions, but we just take another look, we say even in human nature, in the human culture that's separate from religion, it is also frowned upon, or it was until everything went upside down.
Yeah. Let me share with you a narration from Imam Rida alayhi salam, in which he has referred to the philosophy of the fact that homosexuality is forbidden both for men and women. He says that this is the narration that confirms the fact that it is against the nature of the human beings. He says that homosexuality for both men and women is against the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created men and women. And interestingly, Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that is why, one of the reasons for it being forbidden is that if both men and women women get homosexual, then we have the following negative consequences. The first of them is انقطاع النسل. I mean, we will stop having children. There is right. no reproduction anymore.
There will be no legacy.
Exactly. And خراب الدنيا, I mean, the whole world would be damaged, and so on and so forth. So this is the answer to the first part of the question. As for what scientific sources say about homosexuality...
We also out of time, by the way.
Quickly, I refer to some of the papers and articles which are written and published. I think our dear listeners can also search for that. For example, when it comes to the, two men who are homosexual, it's been proved that such relationship is would bring many, illnesses like, some viral diseases like...
HIV, I believe it started
yeah, HIV,
in such a way.
Hepatitis, syphilis, and other sexually transmitted diseases. It's been proved in the science that they are and also not only about these physical diseases, when it comes to psychological problems, it's been proved in psychology that such relationship between two men and two women, it will bring about many psychological problems and illnesses, and that is why, gradually speaking, it's been proved that many of them later would have, inclination toward isolation from the society.
Depression.
And right. many other illnesses. I mean, we're not going to talk about that part. I think people can search for that
right.
in published books.
Dear Sheikh, I am sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time. I thank you, dear Sheikh, for sharing with us your knowledge, and also thank you, dear listeners. If our dear listeners, they are interested in further researching this subject, there are many resources, Islamic sources that you can find on the internet, and also ask your local sheikh. And with that, until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min Inna fil jannati nahran min Ali حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين حسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا
Or do you think that most of them hear or reason? They are not except like livestock. Rather, they are even more astray in their way.
Brothers and sisters, we have reached the 44th verse of the chapter. أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا Do you think that most of them do hear or understand? They're nothing but like cattle. Nay, they are further astray from the path. Dear listeners, this verse is criticizing pagans more. The Holy Quran uses the word ekthar to differentiate between those who will be guided from others afterwards. أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ Do you think that most of them do hear or understand? And then it continues saying, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ They're nothing but like the cattle. An animal has got no intellect to know goodness.
An animal does not understand badness, falsehood, truth. But deviated men act according to their low desires and do not follow their reasons and intellects. Although they are bestowed by the Almighty Allah, this intellect. To show the importance of this matter, and somehow emphasizing on the previous verse, which said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ أَبَى. Have you seen the one who has taken his low desires as his God? This verse says, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are nothing but like the cattle, but they are further astray from the path.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
The concept of this verse is also mentioned in different verses in the Holy Quran, which are about the hell dwellers who have got such a fate because of not using their eyes, their ears, and intellects. It is said elsewhere, these are as the cattle, rather they are more astray. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. So, it is in short clear that they have gone astray, but commentators have said interesting matters about this subject. Some say that the reason that the beasts cannot know anything, the reason they do not have a heedful ear and clear-sighted eye, is that they do not have such abilities. But man is more miserable than them, for he has been bestowed the essence of all talents. Allah has offered him so much talent that he can even be his vicegerent on the earth. But he will reach a state that he will be reduced to the level of beast, and even lower. He has wasted all his merits. He is reduced from the rank of being prostrated by the angels down to the abject rank of evils. This is really painful. This is really, this can be called clear misleading from the path. Even the beasts somehow will not be reckoned. They will not be divinely punished. But the misled people must take the burden of their deeds on their shoulders. They will be punished. They will see the chastisement of the Almighty Allah without any reductions. Beasts sometimes provide men with many services. They do various jobs. But disobedient people provide no service. They cause many disasters and destructions. They are arrogant, they are faithless, and they begin a war in which millions of people are murdered. But these beasts do not pose anyone that kind of threat. And even if they do, it is limited. The interesting point is that the beasts never justify their actions. If they do an action, it is because of their nature. It is a wrong action, but it is natural. But it happens when sometimes that an arrogant, tyrannical, wistful man justifies all his crimes as though he has done nothing, as though he